T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Okay, I love the music. Yes, NHL Draft Lottery was last night. Always spine-tingling. And we are going to go to the West Shore Hotline to talk a little bit about that and more with our good friend Mr. Mike Morial from NHL.com. Mike is with us right now. Mike, it is Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, sir. Happy day after Draft Lottery to you.
Hey, what's going on, Howie, Jeremy? Glad to be on the show.
So, listen, Montreal, we'll get to the Sabres, obviously, because they'll be busy with 3 picks in the first round, Mike. But Montreal won. Is this a no-brainer Shane Wright pick in this draft?
Yeah, you know, it seems like when you talk, the more you talk to general managers and scouts, you're getting the opinion that there might be 3-4 players with similar projection, right, Howie? And that's how the scouts work. It's projection, not necessarily what this player might provide a year from now, but, you know, 4, 5, 6 years. They want an all-star player out of this draft, particularly when you're picking at the top. And, you know, the word I'm getting is that a lot of these general managers and scouts feel as though there could be 3, 4, maybe even 5 players at the top of this draft. Similar skill sets, excellent ability that could go at the top of this draft. So that's what's going to make it intriguing. But for me and for some of the talks that I've had with a lot of the scouts, I think Shane Wright, as you mentioned, is at the top of this list. I mean, it's just Shane Wright is one of those guys. He's just a dynamic type player. He's a guy that, you know, has been around for, you know, been known for his habits, the way he plays the game the right way, reliable. So I think that team's looking to add that high-end IQ to their lineup, a player that situationally knows the game. You can rely on him, the type of player that a coach is going to put him out in multiple situations as he gets older and gets experience in the NHL. I expect he'll be one of those type players, you know, that has that overall two-way game and is a foundation that you need to win championships. So, yes, I think the Canadians go Shane Wright number one.
I was hoping when you were talking about, you know, number of guys, top guys in the draft, you'd say 9. So the Sabres are at 9. What are we talking about? What kind of players are available at that spot for Buffalo if they stay in that spot?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are quite a few right-handed Ds. Simon Nemec from Nitra in Slovakia has had a heck of a season. He represented Slovakia at the Olympics along with Jure Slavkovsky, and I know the fans out there know a lot about Slavkovsky. He was named MVP the Beijing Olympics, scored 7 goals, was the youngest player in the tournament. Simon Nemec was a teammate of his at Slovakia, right-handed D. Outstanding two-way game, skates extremely well, which allows him to add to the offensive attack while still being strong in the defensive zone. David Juracek, Howie, from Pilsen in the Czech Republic, or Czechia, excuse me, a knee injury required a little bit of some surgery in January, limited him this season, but he really came on strong second half of the season, got back in the lineup late March, early April, plays a mature game to make the transition, has real good size at 6'3", 189. I think the difference between these two righties, Juracek is more of that defensive defenseman type of guy, and Nemec is more that offensive Quinn Hughes type, has more that Quinn Hughes type of push to his game. And then, I mean, there are also some forwards that could drop here to the Sabres at number 9. I really like Matthew Savoy of Winnipeg. He could be one of two Winnipeg Ice players from the Western Hockey League to go top 10, top 15 in this draft. Savoy, telling you how he's one of the most dynamic skaters I've seen in this draft class. He finished seventh in the Western Hockey League with 90 points this year, scored 35 goals in 65 games. Just he takes you out of your seat when you watch him play, and he's exceptional on the PK, can do good things on the power play as well. So Matthew Savoy is another player that could fall to number nine here for the Sabres. And one other defenseman I want to mention that's really making a move up and might be in this position and could be a position where, you know, Kevin Adams might want to take a chance on him, Kevin Korchinski from Seattle. 6'2", 185, high-end offensive defenseman who can generate scoring chances, scored 65 points in 67 regular season games this year, and he's the first WHL defenseman since Darryl Sador with Kamloops in 89-90 to have at least 60 assists in his first year of draft eligibility. So Korchinski can put up the points. He's proven to be a good player in his defensive zone and cleaning out players. So I think there are several good options, and I think that's what this draft makeup is all about, Howie and Jeremy. It's those defensive type players that you're going to find. Maybe not that number one Owen Power type of guy, but you're going to get number two, you know, second pair guys. I think you're going to see a lot of middle six players coming out of this draft. There may be those one or two players that could play a top line sometime down the road, such as a Shane Wright, a Yuri Slavkovsky, a Logan Cooley from the NTDP program. But for the most part, I think there's going to be a lot of players coming out of this draft, particularly late first, second round, that are just going to be guys that can fill the lineup and could be very productive.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Mike Morial with us from NHL.com. You know, we do tend to talk to you about, you know, identities or what stands out or, you know, what makes this draft special. As you look at the draft overall, Mike, is that it? Is it just like maybe not, you know, a bunch of big name or great talent, but good guys? Or are there any aspects of this year's group that really stand out to you, big picture?
Yeah, the outlook really is a strong core of prospects with skills and assets, particularly at center and D. That's how I see it. There's a high number of prospects that are real fast, IQ. What will be unique, I think, with this draft class is that it looks like the 04 born will be the year of the smaller size draft class. There just aren't an abundance of big players. Additionally, I think you might anticipate an increase in 19-year-olds who have been through the draft once getting picked up, and that was due to the pandemic, right, guys? A lot of players have passed over last year, a lot of good players, a lot of players that had an opportunity to showcase their talents in their major junior leagues, in college, wherever it may be, in minor hockey, to show that, hey, you missed us, you made a mistake in not drafting last year, so here I am, you know, I'm waving my hand, this is what I'm doing, and it's tough to try to predict the draft, right? It's such a crazy day where all kinds of things happen. But, you know, from your own experience, you know things start trending one way and then it just becomes a runaway train and things get thrown out of whack a little bit. But at the end of the day, good players are good players and will get drafted. And I think you may see a little bit more of those players that were passed over perhaps last year, you know, find themselves on teams this year.
Let me ask you this, Mike. So the Sabres have three picks right now. They have 9, they have 16, and then Florida's picked somewhere at the bottom, 28 to 32. In the entirety of round one, as you look at the overall talent available in round one, Kevin Adams has maintained he anticipates using all three, like taking three players. But, of course, would never close the door on, you know, a trade if something out there makes the team better and stays with their plan. Those three first-round picks, 9, 16, bottom of round one, hot commodities, so-so, with how often would his phone ring for any of those picks?
Yeah, I think, you know, Kevin's going to get some calls for those particular picks. As I said, you know, and the players that I've, you know, viewed this year, the scouts that I've spoken to, I mean, we could go like middle of the second round where you're still getting very productive players here. There may be some teams that are, you know, not even in the first round that may want to take a stab at a player. Maybe trade an up-and-coming minor league player for that late pick to the Sabres. But yeah, there's always that opportunity. Hey, you know, when you have three picks, and I believe, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, I think this is the third time in the last 4 years that the Sabres have multiple picks in the first round. So I'm sure they've been through all this before. But yeah, you know, that's a hot commodity to have those type of picks, and it's assets, it's capital, and come draft day, if a team comes calling and wants to step into the first round, or, you know, Kevin maybe just sits there and thinks about maybe taking a player of a positional need with that third pick in the first round. I mean, that's a possibility as well. If there's a player that pops that his scouts say, hey, you know, we didn't think this guy would drop this far, and, you know, knowing what we know, and that there, you know, last year, you know, the entire Ontario Hockey League was canceled because of COVID. You know, and this year we got to see what these players were all about, and we're going to see, you know, a lot of players that were passed over last year taken this year. I think there could be that opportunity where you may want to take a defenseman, or I don't think a goalie's going to go this year in the first round for the first time in a few years. But you know, it is capital, and they could make a move there with that final pick in the first.
Mike, final thing for you. Love to get a thought or two from you on the Sabres, who, yeah, the playoff drought was extended, but up here, people are, you know, coming back. It was a rough stretch for this franchise. They lost a lot of fans. They got to try and win them back. And there was a pretty positive feeling at the end of the season, a feeling that you've got a good young core developing and that the franchise is trending up. How do you see the Sabres at this point from a national perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Alex Tuch, Peyton Krebs, you know, two forwards acquired in the Eichel trade have made an impact and shown they can be important pieces to the future. You know, Tuch with over 30 points this year, you know, a healthy Luukkonen, the 23-year-old goalie, you know, has been limited to nine games. He was limited to nine games, you know, last season. Has a had a respectable sub-3 goals against average, and he played for the Sabres. And you know, he'll be healthy to start next season. Likely be their number one. I like what I saw out of him this year. And, you know, and they have their core group under contract in addition to Tuch and Krebs. You know, Skinner and Mittelstadt, Gergensen's, Tage Thompson, who I thought was extraordinary this year, real fun to watch. Dylan Cousins, another player. I thought Dylan Cousins came into his own, loved him when the Sabres did draft him. We knew all about his offensive capabilities, but I saw something in Cousins that, you know, I didn't really see in Major Junior, and that was a little bit of an edge to his game too, which was really, really good to see. And, of course, you know, Rasmus Dahlin, all are signed at least through next season. You know, Victor Olofsson is the only key piece who can become a restricted free agent after the season. So the Sabres could have the main part of their roster intact, barring an off-season trade, as we discussed. But I like what the Sabres have done. I saw them, you know, at the tail end of the season when they visited New Jersey down the stretch, and when they played the Devils. And I really like what the team has to offer. And there were some really good signs down the stretch. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to what the Sabres can do and finally get this this schneid of, you know, missed playoffs for 11 straight seasons, you know, off the record. And I think they're in for some real nice future here in consecutive playoff appearances and possibly Stanley Cup playoff become a Stanley Cup playoff contender much sooner than later.
Always nice to catch up with you, Mr. Morial. Thanks for your time. You're always generous with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.